outstanding Trance Work Express, Volume 2, a tribute to Kraftwerk album. And both Volume 1 and Volume 2 of those Trance Work Express albums are just incredible. And let's see. And in between, we're going to be hearing from the Cranberries and Green Day. And it all starts right now. Oh, yeah, I want to say this set in particular, we'll be hearing a lot from Dr. Albert Hoffman, the discoverer of LSD, as I mentioned in the when we first got on the air here.
Could render 50,000 people temporarily insane.
Against it in 1937. Since that time, 20 million Americans have been arrested, convicted, and incarcerated for using the most popular drug in the world.
My thoughts from me now. I want nothing more. Thank you. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Well, that was a full circle set. Beginning and ending with two different versions of the seminal German electronic band Kraftwerk's song Numbers. The first one, the original from Kraftwerk's Computer World album. And the second one being by Pygmy Taxi Corporation. From the incredible Transwerk Express Volume 2, a tribute to Kraftwerk. Both Volume 1 and 2 are, yes, just outstanding. And then in between, we heard from the Cranberries with 21 and Green Day with 86. And if you're just tuning in, our theme this evening is numbers. And thanks so much to Aiden, Sophie, Josh, Ellie, and Catherine for tuning in and listening to this sound collage this evening as they perhaps get ready for some more entertainment later this evening. Or whatever else it is that people are doing on a Friday evening and listening to the radio or the web. I often end up, well, when I'm cooking in my kitchen, I turn on WMFO as number one. But if there aren't things going on, then there's WMBR first on your radio dial, 88.1. I like WHRB as well. And actually, on Wednesday at 4 p.m., I was making a rather late lunch. And that would normally be Joyce the Voice, who's doing her wonderful freeform mix of Jewish-oriented and other kinds of music. But instead, I heard Rodney Dangerfield telling jokes on top of the theme from Deliverance, Dueling Banjos. And as it turns out, that was Luke, who's going to be coming back on the airwaves here at midnight for his look back at the favorite songs of the last decade. But until then, yes, we've got a little bit, about 40 minutes left. And I'm going to start off this next set with a song that always just brings tears to my eyes. Makes me want to cry, even if not tears to my eyes, but the Penguin Cafe Orchestra, which is basically a loose assembly of various musicians, but they were headed by an English guy, Simon Jeffs, who died in 1997 of brain cancer, tragically. They supported Kraftwerk, which is certainly something, and they were associated, their first album was on Brian Eno's Experimental EG Records label. So in this next set, we're going to start off with Penguin Cafe's Numbers 1-4, a pure instrumental. Then my crazy remixed version of the Beatles, all three different versions of Revolution. I call this one Revolution 19, the Plastic Sushi Whole Lotta Hungry remix. Got some Brian Eno and David Byrne and Jimmy Page in there as well. Then I talked about this a bit at the beginning. My Aphex Twin, their number 9 song. Well, when I was in college, I wrote a short novel called Dare. And I've got two excerpts in there layered on top of an LSD trip, the beginning and then kind of the end. And, well, some caution about that. As I said, some of the most beautiful experiences I've had in my life and some of the scariest. And then we're going to finish that off with Goldfrapp number one, my Remix Mania version. And maybe, just maybe, we'll be able to get Rush's 2112 in there. But we'll see how that goes. But here is Penguin Cafe Orchestra. And actually, this is a live version of numbers 1 to 4 from their Terry album. Only here on WMFO in Medford. Tufts Freeform Radio. Thank you. Number nine.
Number nine.
Solution. Well, you know, we don't love to see the grass. Solution. Well, you know, we don't love to see the plan.
Brother, may it serve you well.
Maybe it's not
what?
Oh. Maybe even then, exposure is something that's so difficult to bear. Simply by exposure.
Just me and John, it didn't go that well. Paranoia set in pretty early, and although John tried to talk me down, it was a traumatic experience. But when we came off it, I realized how absurd it had been. Dan came over and asked us how it was. Powerful stuff, we told him. He was pretty interested. It didn't take me and John long to convince ourselves that it would be a lot different if we were doing it with a pillar of stability like Dan. We took some more and began setting up our toys. Candles, aluminum foil, and Kool-Aid. We lit the candles and turned out the lights. I put on Tangerine Dream, and we waited. It felt a lot better to start with. John sunk into his chair and smiled behind mirrored glasses. Dan sculpted aluminum foil. I watched the movie. I saw a face in the speaker. Who was it, I wondered. Who did I want it to be? I answered. Like everything else, it's what you want. Dan invited me to join him in a candle. We dipped our fingers in the hot wax, examined them as it solidified, and then melted the wax off in the flames. As our ritual developed, I realized that the pain was only as real as you wanted. But because it was real anyway, Dan and I were sharing something important that John, sitting over there, wasn't. And John knew it too. So I suggested that we go outside and look for it. It, said John. What is it? Dan liked the idea, but John wasn't sure. He was afraid, and I was afraid, but I wasn't afraid of my fear like he was, or so it seemed, or so I hoped. Because I really didn't know what it was, and I was sure John didn't, because that's why he was afraid. But Dan seemed to, because he wasn't afraid. But he wouldn't tell me what it was, or even do more than just hint at it, because he thought I knew what it was, or so it seemed, or so I hoped. So we went outside and we walked in the shimmering slush in which there were these marvelous arabesque patterns that I felt bad about stepping on and breaking because they were so 3D until I realized that you couldn't break them, you could only change them. And John wanted to know if we were coming to it yet. So I asked him if he thought we were coming to it yet. Dan liked that because he laughed. And I knew it was me and Dan against John. And where we were then, the field was below us about 30 feet. So I told John, it could be over the edge. Why don't you go look? But he was really afraid, more so than before, which was hard, but it was easy because Dan had laughed and he didn't know where I was coming from, even though he sort of suspected, I think, like I suspected, because just then it occurred to me that me and Dan were trying to get him to kill himself. Or if he wouldn't do it, we'd have to do it for him. All because he was afraid, which was why he deserved to die. So he didn't want to look over the edge, because if he didn't throw himself over, then we might. But he couldn't very well not look over the edge, because that's where it was, and he couldn't be afraid of it, not when we weren't. And besides, we were his friends, and didn't he trust us? So he had to. But then I realized that I had been afraid before, and he, John, had helped me. And if I was afraid, and he was afraid, who was Dan to try to get him, John, to kill himself just because he was afraid? And I realized that it should be me and John against Dan. So I told Dan that we should all look over the edge to see if it was there, because I wasn't sure either. And then Dan admitted that he really didn't know himself, and I knew he lied, so I was sure we should make him die. And so we all walked over to the edge. But as we got there, I realized I was in the middle, and maybe it was them against me. So I backed off, and John laughed, and Dan laughed, and just to show them I wasn't afraid, even though I was more terribly scared than I had ever been, I laughed. But I wasn't convinced, and I didn't think they were. And Dan asked me, are you going to look over the edge, or aren't you? So I said he should look over the edge first, and tell me if he saw it. And then John said the same thing, and Dan laughed at the both of us, because he really was afraid. But he couldn't let us know, even though right there, he gave it away worse than he ever could have.
This is Freeman Dyson, and you're listening to Tears of the Gods on WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio.
You know, there are many passages from the Satanic Bible that deal with evolution, even in the book's introduction itself. There's no doubt that LaVey was directly influenced by Darwinian evolution when he established the Church of Satan, an anti-God religion. This is why it's so important for us to spread the truth about Genesis. We must oppose the anti-God religion of evolution that pervades our education systems worldwide.
like it is. You ain't never, never in your life have you heard of this jockey come through here like me. But when you call up here, don't call up here talking about you a good disc jockey or you the best. You know what? You know how y'all talk, you know. You know how you talk that I ever heard. Know what I mean? Because I'm telling you, don't call me no disc jockey, because I'm not a disc jockey. I'm a human radio station. Now don't forget that, because see, it makes me mad for y'all to disfigure me like you do. Don't classify me with these Rudy poops right here. Now these folks on all these other radio stations in Canada or whatever they supposed to be, then they may be disc jockeys. But you put all of them on the radio when I'm on at one time, and I'll wear their head out. All of them, put them all on at the same time, and I will wear their head out. Now that's them people what you call disc jockeys. Know what I mean? I'm a human radio station, and I don't want to have to repeat this no more.
thanks so much for listening to this edition of the Plastic Sushi Strawberries in Time Sound Collage. Our theme has been numbers. And we had a really long set there that began with numbers 1-4 by Penguin Cafe Orchestra, a live version from their Terry album. And then my Plastic Sushi Whole Lotta Hungry remix of the Beatles' Revolution. All three different versions, Revolution number 1 and number 9, and what, there was another one in there. And it also had Brian Eno and David Byrne and Jimmy Page in there, and Yoko Ono, If You Become Naked, that's her. And then Aphex Twin and my Plastic Sushi LSD Dare remix, where I read two vignettes from my final thesis for my philosophy degree many years ago that I packaged into a short novel called Dare. And that was about an LSD trip, as we've kind of had a theme of that going, as we've heard from Dr. Albert Hoffman, the discoverer of LSD, in a couple of our tracks this evening. And then we heard from Goldfrapp, my Remix Mania remix of the Alan Braxton Fred Falk remix of number 1. And then going out to Luke, who'll be coming back on the airwaves here at midnight with his retrospective listen back at his favorite songs of the last decade. I played the Temples of Syrinx from Rush's 2112 album. Backing me up right now is Brian Eno with 1/1, but this is a audiologically reversed version of it. So I just flip everything around, and it was like we're walking backwards. And a way to get more value out of the music you buy. Thanks so much for listening, and thanks to Chuck U and Diane for calling in, and Arthur and Aiden and Sophie and Josh and Ellie and Catherine. I appreciate you listening to my sound collages. Stay tuned for the Squid Pie Holiday Spectacular, only here on WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Community Radio.